First John chapter number one. First John chapter number one. First John chapter number one. I heard a saying many years ago, people party, but Christians fellowship. And so I want us to talk tonight about fellowship. And so let's look at verse number one. We'll read through the chapter. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and here bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Tremendous chapter. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the opportunity to gather around your word. Father, we pray for the anointing of the Spirit of God to move in every heart. May you be glorified by what's said. May honor come to you. But also, Lord, that as we bring honor to you, we might, through that, cause people without Christ to see his greatness, his reality. Bless, we pray, as we look at this in Christ's name. Amen. Fellowship is companionship based on a common interest. Thus, a Christian cannot truly fellowship with a lost person. The only way he can do that is if it's based upon temporal things. You cannot have any spiritual fellowship with those who are lost. Now, some folks believe that because we're not to have fellowship with the world, that we're not to talk to them at all. That's simply not the case, because God left us here to be a witness and to be friendly to people and all those things. Yet the Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He's talking about a yoke here. He's talking about fellowship. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, he says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Well, we notice a number of truths here from this chapter. One of those is that Christian fellowship is based on truth. It's based on truth. Notice verse number 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. What did they see and heard? They heard, seen and heard the truth, did they not? In the Lord Jesus Christ. That ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So it's based upon the truth. We can't fellowship with God if we don't accept the truth. Notice verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And so for Christian fellowship, it needs to be based on truth. For the Christian to fellowship with God, he must accept it, the truth of God, as truth. Not only must we believe the truth to be truth, but we also need to be doers of it to have true fellowship. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Talking about our walk. Walking in the light, walking in the truth of God, and we can have fellowship, true fellowship. Backsliders, by their very nature, are excluded from this because they're not walking in the light. And so they're not really having good fellowship. Really, without the Bible, we don't have any truth. Isn't that true? Thy word is truth. Jesus declared that. No wonder the devil is trying to confuse people concerning the many different versions of the Bible, and even concerning its authenticity of itself. Jesus said this in chapter 17 of John, verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth." That word sanctify means to set them apart. "Sanctify them through thy truth," and he says, "Thy word is truth." So it's from that we get the truth. Now, fellowship is with people that I would describe as free. They're free from their sin. They walk in the truth of God, and they desire it. They long for it. As I have seen some of our folks, and one of the things I've heard almost everyone say is, "Man, I miss coming to church." Well, why is that? Because we have a new desire, don't we? Now, the lost are bound their sins, and all that kind of stuff's forced upon them, but we enjoy getting around people. We enjoy, please don't misunderstand this one, hanging out with God. We enjoy having that kind of fellowship. It's based on the truth. I believe there's something else that we need to look at and consider that Christian fellowship is based on, and that is His presence. It says, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Now listen, we might be separated at night by blocks or miles, but we still have the same God. And through the medium of Facebook and so forth, we really can gather with each other to some degree. But where two or three are to gather in my name, he says, there am I in the midst of them. It's based on his presence. The immanence or the omnipresence of God. That means he's present everywhere. Makes it possible for saints in heaven and on earth to simultaneously enjoy his presence. Now we thought, sometimes we think about those who have passed on before, they're in God's presence in heaven, we think that that's different than here, and yes, there's some differences, but in all seriousness, we have the same fellowship, or can have, with God. He's the center and focus of all of it. Listen to this definition. Fellowship is a relationship of inner unity among believers that expresses itself in outer co-participation with Christ and one another in accomplishing God's will on earth. So when we think about fellowship with God, it's a little bit more than just sitting around and, like we think, talking to one another over a meal or something. It's as you and I are working together. I found that one of the best ways to get to know my boys when they're younger is we did something together. You didn't have to look at them, you didn't have to do any of that, but just doing some things together, and you start hearing some things and saying some things, and you get to having some fellowship there. Same thing with God's people. As we're seeking to do the work of God together, it just enhances that marvelous thing we call fellowship. Now, I want to describe a couple of things here concerning it. The importance of fellowship to the church can be seen first in the fact that it occurs naturally as a result of the establishment of the church. Now, think about this. Nobody had come to disciples or those new believers in the day of Pentecost and say, "You need to practice fellowship." They didn't have to tell them that. The Spirit of God came upon those people and it formed an inner unity. And their natural inclination was to exercise it outwardly. Notice what it says in the latter part of Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, it says, "And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted to all men as every man had need." What were they doing? They were participating together. By the way, that's not socialism, as some people try to point out. That was something they did because they wanted to. And it says, "They continued to lay with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people." And then notice this. He said, "Then the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." There's a marvelous thing about fellowship, and that is it comes to us naturally because we have the Holy Spirit of God. And so our spirits bear witness with one another, And it forms that unity. And it's not a unity of sitting down. It's a unity of going forward. And when we're doing that, it's marvelous what takes place. And it speaks to people. And it's like a snowball that you roll along that gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Fellowship is the indispensable means of accomplishing the God-given purpose of the church. Paul, when he wrote the Ephesians, said this. Chapter 3, verse 8 says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now to the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." The purpose is for us as believers in fellowship, meaning working together to reach a lost and dying world. It's really quite simple. What's important for us to see here, that no individual working alone could ever fulfill the plan that God has of showing his perfection to a world. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and they need to see that from many aspects. And none of us can do that together. Paul, he said that, I planted and Apollos watered and God gave the increase. And so it's a matter of we working together. Let me close with this thought. We're physically separated at this time. And many tonight are in their homes. I hope all that are part of our church are watching tonight. But I'd like to challenge you to do something. I mentioned it earlier. I would like to challenge you to gather, the limit is 10. 10 people together. Maybe it's a couple of families. I don't know who it would be. And get together and talk about the things of God. Challenge each other in it. I remember on a couple of occasions, Chad, he's mentioned, he was challenged to read the Bible more, and he took that challenge. That's fellowship in action to help us to become closer and better in our doings for God. And talk about how he's opening doors, or what doors we could open. I talked to a fellow today, and he was telling me that he knows a church up in Minnesota. And just before all this hit, they had, for some reason, bought a whole lot of toilet paper. And so they made a little sticker, and on the sticker it says, "You have been rolled." And they put it on two rolls of toilet paper, and they took it to every house in their neighborhood and gave everybody two things. And they had the name of the church on there and their phone number. He said that happened at the very beginning of all this, and they're still getting phone calls. See, we have no idea the impact we have and the things that we can do. And so I'm saying to you, let's do at least that. Get together. You know, pop some popcorn. I don't care what you do. But have a little bit of fellowship. And seriously, I would love to meet with some of those. And you have to call me and say, "Hey, we got a few folks at my house tonight." By the way, you could come down to your church if you want to. And actually, we'd handle two or three groups at once because we got the space with the buildings and so forth. But nonetheless, I'd like to challenge you with that. And I would love to do that and to be able to share something from the Word of God. And I'd also like to hear some of the things that God has done in your life and what the Word of God has done. We live in some, I'm going to say exciting times, because we have no idea what the future holds. None whatsoever. We don't know if things like this is going to continue. I mean, there's some people who want to do that. I keep hearing about America opening up, but I'm not really seeing a whole lot of it yet, but I'm hoping for it. And I hear all the doomsday people. I mean, some are saying we're going to have a depression worse than back in the 20s and 30s. And I'm hearing all these naysayers and so forth. I'm also hearing those folks who are excited. And I think God's people ought to be excited. Seriously. And, you know, some people are worried about the mark of the beast and taking the mark. By the way, if you're saved, God's taken you up before then. Glory, hallelujah. I mean, we worry about some of the most strange things. And we just need to trust God through these things. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and find somebody that's sick and get in front of them and let them breathe on you. That'd be kind of silly. But we have to always take precautions, no matter what it is. It's just good sense. I mean, it's best to drive down the road with your doors shut rather than open. True. But by the way, I do have a problem that all of us are quarantined because of somebody else. And I'll put it this way. If one of these young people here was very, very ornery, I mean, they were really bad, bad, bad. And so what are we going to do about it? We're going to quarantine all the young people and all of their parents and all their neighbors so none of them have to get around them rather than quarantine that one bratty child. I mean, isn't it better to say, go to your room, than to tell the whole world, go to your room? Anyways, those things run through my mind. Have some fellowship, plan on some things, let me know what's taking place with that. I appreciate that, and may God bless. Chad's going to come. I believe he's got a prayer letter here tonight from one of our missionaries.